This is Chubby Ray Live. And here is your host, Mr. Ray Lytle.
Yes. Hello, everybody. How you doing? It is Chubby Ray Live. I am Ray Lytle. And much like Congressman, or I'm sorry, much like Senator, much like Senator Scott Brown, I'm willing to work together to make this a better country. Welcome to the program. Today's show brought to you by our friends of the Blue Grouch. It's the Blue Grouch on Maple in Springfield. Welcome to the program. I am joined, as always, by the one and only Mr. Gully.
Hello, Ray. Hands across the ocean it is.
And, of course, the man willing to put the world on his shoulders and make it all a better place. The one and only Vanilla Gorilla.
Screw Scott Brown.
Why are you angry at Scott Brown?
Screw Scott
Brown. Wait a minute.
Brown.
You love Scott Brown. Why are you mad
at him? I did. Now he's on my shit list.
Why are you mad at him? You loved him. He was your guy. He was your man. He was your dude.
I was all excited.
He was your broham. Why are you angry at him?
He was supposed to be a conservative, Ray.
Yeah, so he voted for... He's also supposed to be a representative of the state of Massachusetts, and he voted for a bill that put plenty of jobs in his state. What's wrong with that?
He sold out, Ray.
I got to be honest.
It took him 2 weeks to sell out.
We need more Scott Browns. We need more Scott Browns. That's what we need. We need Democratic versions of Scott Browns.
Yeah,
we need more Republican versions of Scott Browns. We need more Scott. We need people that are willing to say, hey, listen, I might be a whatever, and this bill might have been, this might be brought up by the other side, but damn it, this helps the country, not the party. So I'm going to vote yes for it. Hell, we need a Scott Brown in the White House. We need a Scott Brown in all over the place. We need people who are willing to actually govern for the people and not just for the party. Hats off to Scott Brown. If you don't know what we're talking about, Scott Brown is the guy who just got voted in.
Scott Brown is a guy who just stabbed everybody in the back.
He is not! Scott Brown's a true American! Come on, Gorilla!
Scott Brown's a retard.
Gorilla! That's horrible to say such a thing.
You know it's true, though, right?
No, it isn't. I like Scott Brown. Listen.
Oh, sure you do now.
No, I even remember I talked about how with the great campaign he ran. When he ran against that moron that... No, let's face it. The woman he ran against... In Massachusetts, Gully could have beat her, and he's not even a United States citizen.
Well, I'm a winner, Ray.
Right. Yes, Gully, you are. No, when he was elected, he, you know, for being a conservative, he was a very, very moderate conservative. But I'll tell you what,
that's not how he ran.
Sure he did.
Oh, he did.
Come on, Gorilla. A Massachusetts Republican. A Massachusetts Republican is what most people call a moderate Democrat.
I'll tell you something. He pulled all the Tea Partiers in, all the people who were sick of big government, and what's the first thing that son of a bitch does?
He gave them 10,000 jobs.
Yeah,
that's what he did.
Who
bought him? Are you kidding? They didn't buy him. That's what makes what he did so amazing, is because he wasn't bought. The big business lobby was trying to close this down. They didn't want him bought. They didn't want anybody bought they didn't want this bill passed.
I'm running against Scott Brown when it comes
to... Oh, you are unbelievable. You can't run against anybody.
Yeah, I can't run against Scott Brown.
You live in Illinois. How are you going to run against a Massachusetts senator? Listen,
we'll
I got to tell you, this
Scott Brown
people were giving him grief because he posted Cosmo magazine or whatever. And they gave him grief because he said, well, he's just this good-looking guy, and women voted him in, blah, blah, blah. People voted him in because they were sick of the same old thing. But they also voted him in because they're sick of unemployment being high. They're sick of having to pay so much money in taxes and things like that. And he did the best possible thing. He voted in something that will give people jobs. I don't think there's anything more important than giving people jobs right now.
What he basically did, Ray, was switch parties.
He didn't switch parties.
That's basically what his vote signifies.
No, Gorilla, what he did was he made voting along party lines less important than voting for the good of his constituents. And that's what this is all about. You know, and I'll tell you what, he wasn't like Aaron Schock and these other jokers of the world where they vote against something and then they go ahead and take credit for it after they voted against it. Remember Aaron Schock when he was in East Peoria shaking hands and taking credit for the jobs that were created by the stimulus package when he voted against it, actually spoke out against it in Congress. This guy, Scott Brown, realized, hey, you know what? We're going to benefit from it. We're going to get jobs from it. I'm going to at least vote for it. And I'm not so sure that the Aaron Schocks of this world being outed as being hypocrites aren't what made Scott Brown. And by the way, Brown's the most notable guy because he's been in the news so much lately. But there were, four other Republicans?
Four others.
Yeah. Four other Republicans that voted.
All traitors, by the way.
They're not traitors.
Traitors!
They voted for the good of their constituents and not for the good of the party.
Very noble of them.
I'll tell you something.
It's not to consider one.
If I ever ran for office, I guarantee I would vote for the good of the people, not for the party. Screw the party.
They make a party for that, right?
This Scott Brown better watch out. He's going to end up being president. I told my wife this a month ago when he was elected. I said, this guy, you know what? They better watch out. This guy could end up being president. He speaks to the people. My God, he went and proved it. Good for him.
Jackass.
Good for him is what I say.
Jackass.
He's not the only Republican in the news, Gorilla. This guy be killing you. How about Arnold Schwarzenegger? What's up with your boy Schwarzenegger?
Schwarzenegger's a jackass from day one.
Get to the chopper.
Well, Schwarzenegger is sick of insurance companies raising rates and his people. They already are hurting in California, or California, as Arnold Schwarzenegger calls it. They're hurting. And you've got insurance companies raising rates, jacking rates 39%. So rather than towing the Republican line and not wanting health care reform, Schwarzenegger spoke up and said, hey, we need to pass Obama's health care reform. Because one of the things it does is it puts caps on these insurance companies from raising premium rates up so much.
Yes, let's start telling business what they can and can't do.
Yes,
that's
well,
great.
You know what? When business is out of control, we always tell business what they can and can't do. We tell business they can't do things like put poison in our food. We tell business they can't put pesticides in our bread.
Okay, that's different than raising the price of your product.
Why? Why is it?
That's different than raising the price of your product.
Why is it, Gorilla?
Because one kills you.
Gorilla, we have laws in this country. We have laws in this country set up to benefit insurance companies. All right? For example, if you right now have insurance through a provider, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Say you get some kind of debilitating disease.
Mm-hmm.
You want to switch insurance providers. You couldn't.
Right.
Because the way they have it set up, pre-existing conditions cannot transfer. It's ridiculous, things like that. There's not a lot of competition in insurance, which means once they get you, you know, when you have a job, once they get you, they've got you. And they get such a grip. They can do things like raise their prices. The only thing that they've got left to do is put a cap on saying, hey, you can, and I believe, I don't know if I know the number exactly, but I believe Obama's health care plan, and we're calling it Obama's health care plan because it's one of the Democratic health care plans. There's more than one, which, by the way, is one of the problems. They need to get one plan and stick with it. But it puts a cap. They cannot raise, they cannot increase your premiums by more than 2.8% or whatever.
Well, we talked about this yesterday.
Every
though,
year. And
we talked about it yesterday, that if they want to keep the same profit margin, now their level of care is going to go down.
Well, why do they have to keep the same profit margin? A profit is a profit. Why? This is one of the problems when we live in a Wall Street society. The profit's got to get bigger every single year.
It has. You have to show growth.
You can show growth without showing obscene growth. That's part of the problem with this country. Obscene growth is that's why they were Listen, the reason they were floating the windfall tax was just they're shooting over they're firing some shots over the bow, saying, hey, we can always do this. We can always do this. Just to kind of let big business know. God, at some point, Gorilla, at any point does it become un-American to send jobs overseas? In your eyes, at any point is it un-American to send jobs overseas?
One of my jobs has been shipped to another country. Yes, it has. Do I think it's un-American? No, I think that's the height of Americanism, the height of capitalism, to find someone who would do your job at less of a price.
I think that's wrong. I think it's wrong. I think it's hurt this country. We'll take some phone calls. 217-883-4667. Hi, you're on Chubby Ray Live. Hello.
Okay, it's Dave.
Hey, Dave, what's up, buddy?
Okay, I agree with what you're saying, but you can't just make a blanket statement about huge profits, okay? Because the other thing you have to take into consideration is what type of business that is. Okay, there might be years that people have large capital expenditures.
The thing Obama floated was an energy windfall tax. It was specific to it was a shot over the bow of the oil companies is what it was. That's what was floated. That's what was floated. It was specific because
it came out because, for example,
Exxon was touting and patting themselves on the back for their $16 billion profit in a quarter.
And I say kudos to Momo for that.
Well, come on, Gorilla. Meanwhile, people can't even afford gas.
But, Ray, how do you know what their next 5 years of capital expenditure needs are?
But, Dave, how do we also know that they are in a situation where when you get somebody in an unfair advantage, okay? When someone is in an unfair advantage, for example, you just can't start up. Somebody just can't start up a company that goes into competition with them.
No, absolutely.
Then I think that there is some kind of duty, just a decent humanity, that a company should have to say, you know what? We can gouge everybody. But we're going to decide not to.
Let me ask you this. Do you agree that we should do more U.S. drilling?
Did you say U.S. grilling? What?
U.S. drilling.
Yeah.
Like an
animal. Yeah.
Yes, I do. I actually do. I believe that we have I believe that there's a duty to the United States people to search for more oil, and if we can get it. I think that there are reserves in upper Alaska. I think that we should be drilling up near the pole. The National Forest Preserve in Alaska? I think we should definitely look in there. I believe that we should allow more drilling off the coasts of this country. I know that those wells are an eyesore, because when I would go to the beach in Corpus Christi, a Mustang Island, or Padre Island, they are sort of an eyesore. But, listen, we've got to stop giving so much money to these Middle Eastern countries. I also understand that exploration for that oil is extremely expensive. But
right.
I think if we can find oil in places, then we've got to get it. But I also think that there is untapped oil in Mexico that they haven't even begun to look for. And I think we should also exhaust all the oil in Mexico, because I'd much rather give that country money than give it to these sons of bitches over in the Middle East. So, yes, I am for more exploration and for more drilling of oil in the United States of America, especially if it is going to lower our prices to a reasonable level and give us oil to live on for the next 30 years, as we are searching for alternative energy resources. And I'll tell you something else, Dave.
Yes.
I'm actually for giving an advantage to the oil companies, to being the companies in charge of the next energy. Because I don't think that we should go ahead and say we need to develop new energy and just put these companies out of business. I think it would be horribly. I haven't done much research on it, but
I would almost guarantee you that the largest investors in that type of technology have to do that.
Yeah, the oil companies are, but
I think they have to know.
But I think even above that, the United States government has to help them keep that advantage. For example, I said this before. They talked about legalizing marijuana, about growing marijuana. I've said time and time again, do you want to know who should grow marijuana in this country?
Me.
R.J. Reynolds, Philip Morris, the tobacco companies. Let the tobacco companies grow marijuana. They know how to grow a product that eventually is smoked. Now, we need to regulate it, make sure they're not putting chemicals in it like they did with the cigarettes to where it gets addictive to people. But if they're going to legalize marijuana and tax it, then you need a company that has infrastructure to grow and harvest and do these things to the product. Why not give it to the tobacco industry, which, by the way, we've been trying to put out of business for 25 years. Let's give them an advantage and let them be the ones to grow the marijuana if we're going to legalize it.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
But I'm just saying, this is that.
No, I agree.
That's how I feel. That's how I feel. I'm not some raving liberal lunatic who talks out of one side of my mouth and the other, saying we've got to create new energy, but we're not going to allow you to look for oil now in the United States. That's craziness. I'm not a Nancy Pelosi liberal who says we need jobs in this country. We need to reaffirm our manufacturing base, but then put so much stringent environmental restrictions on businesses that nobody wants to build a factory here. No, I'm aware of these problems, and that's not how I think. My thinking is, when we lost our manufacturing base in this country, that we lost a lot of jobs. And if we're going to bring a manufacturing base back in this country, then one of the things we're going to have to put up with is lessening some environmental restrictions so that we can put a factory up, or investing money in finding ways to create cleaner factories. But until the factories are clean, we're going to have to put up with the dirty ones while we're trying to figure out how to clean them. So, no, I am not one of these Pelosi liberals who talks out of both sides of your mouth. I'm also not like some of these Republicans that are bitching all the time about lowering taxes, and then complaining about the deficit. You can't have it both ways.
Well, given that the banking system collapsed, which essentially has caused everything bad for us worldwide recently, there has to be more regulations in place for big businesses to stop them taking them risks, which left us in basically in up to our neck in it.
Listen, James Bond.
We need to regulate. Definitely need to regulate more.
Listen to me, James Bond. Your country is as guilty as ours for allowing big business to pad the pockets of politicians in order to deregulate the banking industry. It wasn't Bush and Cheney are the ones who have the face of evil. But it wasn't just Bush and Cheney. You could put Tony Blair up there as well. And every person that was in Parliament, as well as every person that was sitting on Capitol Hill in the United States of America, they all took campaign money from from big business and the banking industry to deregulate stuff. And you want to know what's most disgusting? And we'll get off we'll get off politics in just a second here. We'll end with this thought. And I think we can all agree on this. The most disgusting thing, Gully, about what your country did, my country especially did, and what the banking industry did, is we put banking deregulation. Banking deregulation. We stuck that stuff inside bills that were passed because they were homeland security bills for our country. After 9/11, we put laws in place, both of our countries, and not just us. It happened in other countries as well, except for Canada.
Well, this isn't the first. This isn't the first time, right?
Socialists, yeah, they're smarter than us. But
no, you're right. You're right.
They put these things into Homeland Security bills because we were all whipped up in a frenzy after 9/11. And to me, that's the most disgusting thing that was done.
Well, right. It's not the first time, and it won't be the last.
Take, for example, the
secret meetings.
Well,
that,
I know it's not the first.
Governments are having now.
I know it's not the first, but we should make it the last. We should, as people, we should wake up a little bit and try to make it the last.
Well, that's one thing that's coming up, and you'll hear a lot about it. The secret meetings that are going on with the radio, television, music industry about bringing law into effect without us actually knowing what the law is, where you can be cut off piracy of, you know, music or television or films. Now, they're getting it in through the back door in secret meetings.
Now, listen, Gully.
See, that's another thing. That's another way of sneaking laws in.
I know, but Gully, I'm going to say this, and I'm someone who has downloaded something as well. But if, say we sold this show, say the money that we, say we made money from selling this show. We offered it pay-per-view. Like, people had to pay us, say you had to pay us $5 a month to be a member of Chubby Ray to get this show.
Okay.
And Cowboy Volk and listener Dennis and Al from D-Town, computer geniuses, come up with a program that allows them to pirate it. And then they pirate it, and they open up a website, piratevoke.com.
Okay.
And Pirate Voke charges money for people to be able to download stuff from his site, of which is our show, that they're already stealing. And people look at it and they go, wow, you know, I could pay Chubby Ray $5.99 or $6.99 a month to get the show. Or I could pay Cowboy Volk $2.50 a month. I could give Cowboy Volk $5 for 2 months, $7.50 for three, and I could get downloads. Plus, I could also get old disaster shows. Ray sells disaster shows for 99 cents. I can get all those for free. Ray sells old shows. I can get all those for free. At some point, we're going to stand up and say, hey, wait a minute. You know, is there any way to stop them from doing it? And we're going to look at the laws, and the laws are going to kind of say, eh, no, not really. We would also want a law. We would also want a law to stop it. Okay? Now, we would have to be flexible enough to say, hey, you know what? Maybe we need to fix our distribution end and make it easier, or we need to work on encoding or making our, what am I thinking of here? Not encoding, but putting our stuff on a more stringent, easier or less easy to decode
encrypt.
Feed. Yeah, encrypt things.
So we want to heavily DRM.
We need to encrypt better, or maybe we need to find a way to make it so simple. Why is iTunes work? Because iTunes encrypts their stuff very well, and it's easy. iTunes makes stuff easy for people. So maybe we'd have to look at the way we do business as well. If it was happening to us, I think we would also be like the music industry and saying, okay, And trust me, I've downloaded stuff as well.
Okay.
But I want to tell you this. I'll tell you this right now. I have downloaded television shows. All right? Mm-hmm. I have downloaded television shows because I will miss the show, and it drives me crazy that I miss it, so I want to watch it.
Okay.
And I download it, and to me, quality is everything. I want to download an HD thing. If ABC Television said, hey, you know what, for $4.99 a month, you could download any and all shows from us. We'll put on one commercial, and it will be crystal clear clarity. You can download it. I would pay it. I wouldn't pirate it. I would pay it because I knew it would be coming from a reputable source. I know it's not going to endanger my computer. I'm not going to be some pirate like you. But I'm saying they have to start considering things like that. But I understand that's why they're meeting. They're meeting because they're sick of being stolen from. So
yeah, well,
that's why.
I can understand that, Ray. And I, like you, I seriously only pirate, like, TV shows that I can't get over here, mostly,
right.
And on for a few months.
They should make it available for you to get.
Exactly,
maybe,
but the arcade rules that they want to bring in.
Maybe you wouldn't steal it. If they made
it was easy.
Available for you to get, yes. And I'll tell you what, you want to know, I'll give you an example of WWE and TNA wrestling. They realized people were pirating their pay-per-views because it cost too much money. And do you notice that they've both created online HD streaming now, which it's a fraction of the cost of buying it on your television?
It makes sense.
Yeah, I think you can get it for like, I don't know, I shouldn't quote the price, but it's under $20. Mm-hmm. You can buy the pay-per-view now in HD and watch it on your computer instead of paying $50-some-odd and watching it on your television. So they're wising up.
Well, it will take some time. It's like MP3s was and iTunes store for music. It was like, it was archaic. It was behind the times. And video is going through the same phase that MP3s have gone through. How easy is it to go out, pay 99 cents, and get a song straight away you want?
Yeah.
So easy. How easy is it to get the film you want? Very difficult. Several different video stores.
Yes.
You don't know where to look. So that's why there's piracy. Now, to say to someone, three strikes and you're off the internet for life is not acceptable under any circumstances.
But Gully, people, you know, listen. We're walking a fine line. We know what we're doing is wrong. When you're downloading something that's not legal, you know you're doing wrong.
Yep.
What are we supposed to do? You want them to make it easier, but at the same time, they have to have. Don't you think they have to have some rights as a business to? I think businesses have to. You know, I'm sure the gorilla would agree with this. With his free market thought. But you have to give businesses the right to make money. I mean, listen, just like I have a problem with businesses making obscene amounts of money, I do have a problem with businesses having disadvantages to make money at all. I mean, I think that they should be able to make money.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not gonna it's hard for me to get behind the people that are stealing, in other words. I can't get behind the people that are stealing and support them on this one. It's hard for me to do.
Well, my point is that if they can think of an easier way, because over there for you can subscribe to like the Zoom Pass and get whatever music you want for a month. We have nothing like that over here. You have to go out and buy individual songs or albums
instead of
a subscription based music service.
The number one provider of music is iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
99 cents a song. Sometimes they lower it, but it's iTunes. Or you know who else is big is Walmart.com. Mm-hmm. Walmart.com is one of the biggest music providers.
What about Napster?
Yeah, well, I don't think Napster's one of the top three.
They used to be the one.
They were the one. Yeah, that's what started. That's what started file.
Yeah,
sharing.
Metallica v Napster.
That's what started file sharing was. Some guys that went away to college who wanted to share each other's music. I mean, that's how it happened, remember?
Well, I've always said if a subscription service comes out, it's like £20 in English money for me a month, all you can eat, download what you want. We've got all the record labels there. Fine. I would pay it. And I seriously would, because I find it difficult to find the music I like.
When you buy a pirate thing, isn't that what it is? Download all you want for a certain amount, right? Like these companies that pirate stuff, isn't that what it is? You pay them so much money, you can download what you want.
No, you just have to search. It's just the same as easy as going on Google, typing what you look for, and then there you go. It's on your computer.
I don't know. I don't know. It seems to me like the United States government helped create the Internet, and now people are stealing through the Internet. It seems to me that these companies might be in the right where they're saying, hey, you created the thing that's helping them steal. I love the Internet. We're on the air because of the Internet. We're doing the show right now because of the Internet. But you got to admit, the Internet has caused a lot of evil as well as a lot of good.
Yep.
You never heard of people having child pornography on their computers before the Internet.
Yeah, Joe just had Polaroids.
You know, there were people doing bad. They just couldn't share it with other people.
Yeah, there was no YouTube.
All right, last piece of politics before we move on to comedy and making fun of Gorilla's marriage.
Harry, make fun of it all you want, Ryan.
Harry Reid has done it again. This Harry Reid, Democratic senator from Nevada, majority leader of the Senate. The Democrats have got to they've got to get him out of there. They've got to do something to get him out of this position. He has proven time and time and time again that he is a jackass. He has done it again. This time stating that we need to help get men jobs for the good of their women. Because he basically said that unemployed men become abusive to their wives and end up becoming domestic abusers.
Well, right. We can set an example for this. You know, Harry Reid might actually be onto something.
Oh,
I mean,
that's craziness.
Harry Reid might be on to something here.
That is craziness. I have been technically unemployed for a while.
Yes, but
I have not become a domestic abuser.
No, but it's not chronic for you. Think of someone you know who's been chronically unemployed.
I think he's...
And is he or is he not abusive?
All right, that is Hillbilly Joe. But I don't think it's the unemployment that makes him abusive.
What do you think it is, Ray?
I think it's just Joe.
Well, right, but it's just Joe. Why is Joe that way?
Because he's Joe, that's why.
Right, but it's because...
Joe's abusive because he's abusive. I don't think it has anything to do with the unemployed.
Well, yes.
Can we try to call him?
Sure, go ahead.
I don't know if he'll answer, but we should try to call him.
I wonder, we should ask him if Harry Reid's been to his house.
Right, is Harry Reid onto something? Does the fact that he's unemployed have anything to do with him domestically abusing his wife?
Well, I don't think that's... I think it's like a chain of events, Frank. He's unemployed, so he drinks.
Right.
And he beats his wife because he drinks.
Right. It's a vicious circle, in other words.
Can you imagine, Ray, in a world where Joe, A, didn't drink.
In a world where Joe doesn't drink.
B, has a job.
Has a job.
And C, I don't get, but can you imagine this world, Ray? Where Joe has a decent haircut and wears white shirts to go to work.
You can take the man out of the trailer park, but you can't take the trailer park out of the man.
Where he has a full mouth of teeth.
Oh, right. Well, we'll try to get hold of Joe and we'll find out. I don't know if he's going to answer or not. But
hello.
Hello, is Joe there?
Yes, hold on 1 second.
Hey, Kitty. Kitty, how are you, hon?
I'm all right.
Hey, can I ask you something? The reason that we are calling is because Senator Harry Reid of Nevada has said that he wants to help unemployment because unemployed men become domestic abusers. Now, Joe is a domestic abuser. Does his domestic abuse stem from his unemployment? Does his unemployment have anything to do with his domestic abuse towards you? Or what came first, the chicken or the egg? What came first, the unemployment or the domestic abuse? Is Harry Reid onto something, or is he wrong, is what we're asking.
I honestly think that being unemployed has nothing to do with it.
Right. See, Joe, you're saying that Joe is a jackass domestic abuser all on his own. Even if he had a job, he would still domestically abuse.
Yeah. I think it's like that for, I mean, even as far as women, I mean, because there are women out there that are domestic abusers,
sure,
too.
Yeah.
I don't honestly think that it has anything to do with whether you work or not. I think it's how, you know, a lot of it can be psychological issues.
Some people it's how you handle stress. I mean, it's how you handle stress.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you could be a person that just can't handle stress. So you let everything get to you, so you just take it out on somebody else. Or, I mean, there's a number of reasons. You could have been abused when you were younger,
right?
You know,
right.
So then that cycle continues.
I think that might fit.
Is that what you think happened to Joe, by the way, Kenny? You think he was abused as a child?
I think he was.
No, I think it's just mental.
Right.
I have a question, Kenny.
What is your question, girl?
When Joe was working, did he drink more or did he drink less?
When he was, I think it was honestly the same.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, I mean, he less drinks now and stuff. We're talking about Senator whoever, some dimwit. But there for a while, a long time ago when he was working, yeah, I think he drank a lot more than not working.
Well, when he was doing the lawnmower business, he had to drink more because he probably came home tired and thirsty.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
It just varies, really.
Well, let us ask him. Kenny, we appreciate you sharing this with us. That's Kenny, everyone. She has been domestically abused, and she says the unemployment has nothing to do with it. Thank you, Kenny. Let's talk. We'll ask Joe. We'll find out what Joe thinks about this. Joe is always willing to share his thoughts on domestic abuse. He has never been one to hold back his theories on it or his backhand. We will ask Joe, and we'll see what he says. If Harry Reid is on to something, or if he thinks that Harry Reid is a jackass.
I think Harry's a jackass anyway.
Gorilla, you think he's a jackass because he's a Democrat.
No, I just think, if Harry Reid, I think John McCain's a jackass too.
Well, McCain, yeah, did you hear McCain is now speaking out against the TARP that he voted for?
Yeah, I know. He's like John Kerry.
Yeah. Yeah. You mean presidential election losers?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Joe, welcome.
John Edwards, too, by the way.
And by the way, for John Kerry and John McCain, you have to be pretty mediocre to be a war hero and not get elected president in this country. And those two both have that in common. So,
yeah, and John McCain lost it to somebody who's never been in the military.
In this country, to be a war hero and not get elected president, you have to be pretty subpar as a candidate. I will leave it at that. Joe, are you there?
How you doing, Miss Lytle?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Hillbilly Joe joining us on the program.
How you doing, Miss Lytle? How you doing, Mr. Lord Divick? And how you doing, Mr. Alan Goley?
Joe, this is
6 years in, are you?
Joe, Harry Reid, the senator from the state of Nevada, says unemployment in this country is, we need to help fix unemployment because it's doing things like causing domestic abuse. The men who are unemployed are more likely to domestically abuse their partners. Now, we have known you have been involved in domestic abuse. The police have been called to your home.
Many times. there's even a song written about it.
Many times. There have been songs written about your domestic abuse. You
911.
You admit domestic abuse. You've always, and even your wife, you guys have talked about it. My question is, is the fact that you're unemployed, is the fact that you're unemployed a cause or one of the reasons for your domestic abuse?
No.
It is not.
No.
It has never led to you domestically abusing.
No.
What do you think, what caused the domestic abuse?
A lot of reasons, actually, to be honest with you. It's the main thing is the alcohol.
Right. Alcoholism, Joe. See, I told you.
Now, Joe, I asked Kitty. Now I want to ask you the same question.
Well, hold on. Let me answer. I answer your question, Mr. Divick.
All right.
But Ray asked me a question. Let me do it. First of all, it's the alcohol.
Right.
Second of all, it depends on what kind of how long they were out of a job. I mean, because it makes a big deal. On being out of a job, I mean, you know, I don't know if anybody ever watches Operation Repo, but there was a guy who's an actor who is an out-of-work actor, and he went nuts. I mean, it's a prime example, okay?
So you're saying that it does have something to do with being with having a job. What?
Yes. I mean, because if you're out of a job so long, it messes with your mind, okay?
Right.
And then you've got, you know, besides trying to supply for your family.
Wait a minute. All right, so you're saying that not having a job will make a guy want to hit a woman, or are you saying that which one, being unemployed, is the cause of your... I'm not sure what you're saying. Are you saying that your wife, when she doesn't have a job...
I think we should.
I'm
sorry. Mr. Goley would like to sit there and make a comment. So before I answer your question, Mr. Ray, if Mr. Goley would go ahead now and make his comment.
By the way, can I ask, Yellow Fury in the chat room wants to know what was harder, the first 10 years of your unemployment or the second?
Well, you know what, Mr. Goley, may I answer that real quick before you ask your question?
Please do, sir. I you're six beers in already. You sound it.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Goley. But, okay, Mr. Yellow Fury, to answer your question, ask your goddamn mom.
Oh, here we go.
And then you'll get your answer. Mr. Goley,
Yellow Fury loves to give me grief all the time because I am jobless as well.
I still have your answer, but... I would love to have Mr. Goley and go ahead and make his comment. And
go ahead, Goley.
So I can ask everybody's question at one time.
Okay, Joe, if you could stop blithering on for a minute. Just try not... What I'm saying to you now is, the last time you come on, you did kind of say you broke the law. So if this time you could try to not incriminate yourself any further...
I didn't say I broke the law. No, I didn't say I broke the law.
Mr. Lawbreaker,
Joe said the police have been called to his house many times. He has paid his price for his domestic abuse, so he will be admitting to crimes that he has already been rehabilitated for. So, Gully, it's fine for him to admit these crimes now.
Beats her during the call.
Well, yeah, that would be a new offense.
Yeah.
All right,
okay.
So, Joe. What is the number one reason? What is the number one reason for domestic abuse that you have committed?
Well, I'm trying to figure out what Mr. Goley's question was.
His question was, he said that you shouldn't be talking about this because you'll be admitting to breaking the law. But I'm saying that the police have been called to your house. You've been arrested. You've already paid your punishment for beating your wife. I mean, that's already happened.
Take that back. Yeah. Well, no. Yes. Yes, I have. Yes, I have okay. paid pay the time.
Right.
I've been
time.
Behind bars for smacking my wife because she thought that she was going to be a man and smack me first.
Right.
But the cop said I smacked her first, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You know, what can you say? You know how they are. But, you know, hey, I know you smack me, I smack you, whatever.
Right.
I got arrested. Yes, I did.
Right.
I went to jail. I paid my time.
Mm-hmm.
How much did you pay?
Yeah. I paid about 36 hours.
Oh.
So you did your time.
I have a question for Joe.
But the question becomes, why, what caused it, Joe? This is what we're trying to get to talk to. What is the reason behind your domestic abuse? And, well, and did it have anything to do with you being unemployed, like Senator Harry Reid said?
Okay, which time?
Well, just any of the times. What is usually the cause?
What's the cause of you
domestically abusing your wife? What has been the main cause?
Okay, the first time was she wouldn't give me the keys and going to get me a damn ham sandwich.
All right, she...
That was the first time.
I'm sorry. The first time was what? She wouldn't get you a ham sandwich.
No,
well,
no.
That's a very serious issue, right?
To go in the house to get me a ham sandwich and then eat and go to bed. That was the first time. Now, after her kidding, it was because...
That was the first wife.
That was the first wife.
The first wife wouldn't make you a ham sandwich, so that's why you smacked her around.
No.
Or she wouldn't get you.
To go in to make it.
All right. Okay.
And I went to jail, she didn't, and they almost ran over my kids, and I threatened to beat the cops, blah, blah, blah.
There's more.
You don't have enough time to even go.
So what happened? Right, what about the most recent arrest? Or the ones with Kitty? What happened with the ones with Kitty?
The most recent ones with Kitty, it was because of the alcohol.
Right. By the way, that's what my wife predicted. My wife is over going, glug, glug, glug. she's making the universal sign for Joe's drinking too much. Glug, glug, glug.
No, there's also something else involved there.
All right, so Joe, what was the reason
for... mainly the beer.
The beer, okay.
It was vodka as well.
Right.
It was more what? I'm sorry, what?
So the beer, drinking the beer, did it.
All right.
What was another reason... What was another reason for you domestically abusing your wife?
Crack. She wouldn't go get me it in the refrigerator and go get me some more.
I'm sorry, you wanted more beer.
I wanted more beer, yep. Right. We had the money. I had the cash. I gave it to her. She wouldn't go down and walk down it, and it was early.
All right.
And then, which I know, Ray, how you think, and I know how... Everybody else out there, I'm not even in a chat room, so I don't know what the hell the morons out there are saying.
Right.
But the main deal is, what's between the beer,
right?
And she invited the guy over.
She invited a guy over.
Third, stuck him in and doing.
Wait a minute. She what? She invited a guy over to your house?
Yep. It was all her setup. I was like, no problem, Bubba, no problem. He was too big. And she wouldn't do nothing. I said, no. You want to do it? Or?
He beat his wife because she wouldn't have sex with another man.
Wait a minute. This is so
awful. This is twisted.
This is so awful.
How is that twisted? You don't sit there and set up something, especially if you're a female. You're going to sit there and do a video with somebody. The guy come over here and he whip all this long. And the son of a bitch is so big, she gets scared. No.
Scared of the big
snake.
You're
going to do it, or you're going to get your ass whooped. Simple as that.
So that's what started the fight between you and your wife. Because she wouldn't have sex with another man.
With logic.
Well, that was the third or fourth time. I don't remember.
So, but it doesn't sound like...
They've got my name on a jail cell down there.
So the bottom...
jail cell, holding cell, and jail cell.
But the bottom line is your...
80-day cell only.
Your being unemployed has nothing to do with the domestic abuse.
The who?
your being unemployed has had nothing to do with the domestic abuse.
To be honest with you, I think so, but she don't say it.
Right.
I'm a stay-at-home father. I try to run three businesses.
Right.
I don't do it too goddamn good.
Sure.
I try to be a home father. I guess I don't do that really good. So I guess that really has a little involved in everything. But
so basically, what you're saying is, Joe, what it all boils down to is vast amounts of alcohol and penises. That's why you beat your wife.
The cause is either beer or sex has been the cause of your domestic abuse.
And right? Lying.
And lying. So she's lied. You smacked her around because she lied to you.
Well, yeah, you don't lie to me.
Well, I want to ask this question to Joe because I asked it to Katie earlier, and I want to get his take on it.
All right.
Okay.
Joe, when you had a job many, many years ago, did you drink less then or do you drink more now?
Honestly, I drank more then, and I also was doing more than drinking. Dan doing what I do
when
now.
When you worked at a fast food restaurant, I won't say which one, but Joe worked at a fast food restaurant for a long time. I mean, he was...
I'll say it, right? I worked at McDonald's, and I worked at Hardee's.
And he would work...
Damn places I worked at.
I mean, you were doing what? You were doing 50-some-odd hours a week at that Hardee's. You were there a lot. And that's back...
McDonald's, not Hardee's, but McDonald's.
Or whatever it was.
Yeah.
That's when we called him Pothead Joe, because he was always smoking the weed, too, or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. At that time, I was working at McDonald's. I was pulling in. I wish I had that money now, because we wouldn't be in the situation where we are now. I mean, I was doing pretty good at that time. I was working pretty much 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
By 4:00 a.m. in the morning, I was at work. Not guaranteeing I was sober, because I was either drunk or high.
Right.
And yeah.
So you think you think you're better? And listen, I got to be honest. Being an unemployed guy myself, I am mentally much more stable now than I was when I'll be honest. I think that I don't know. I think that being unemployed is pretty. I don't think it makes you crazy mentally.
Well, to be honest with you, it does. It does to an extent, right? Because as a family, as a married husband and a family guy to you, Mr. Lytle, when you're unemployed and you can't help support the family,
right?
You know that gets to you a lot, but you don't really want to show it to your family or to your friends. That really hurts, and when it builds up after years and years, and that has a concept of it. But then the question was in the very beginning. This I call it a politician sitting there doing saying, "Well, this is my end of it." No, you're a dumbass. Simple as that. You knew what position you had. And you should have took care of that before you took that position of that politician.
I have no idea what he's talking about. Joe, thank you. We thank you so much. I thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. So beer, sex, more likely the reason. Being unemployed is not the cause of domestic abuse. That's what we get. Hillbilly Joe, give him a hand. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, it helps a little bit, but it's not the bit. It's mainly alcohol.
Thank you, buddy.
Abuse and stuff. And all I got to say, I love you, Ray.
Thank you, buddy.
Anytime you want to call back, love you, Mr. Divick. Love you, Mr. Allen. And I have no idea who else this other number is that you got on this phone call.
We're all in there.
Definitely tune in to Mr. Ray Lytle's show from 4:30 to 6 or whenever if I'm on. All I got to say is turn it off because you don't like me, so screw you. And I got to say, drink more beer, smack your bitches in the mouth, and I'm out of here.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, and thank you, lovely wife. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a Hillbilly Joe joining us on the program. Thank you, Joe.
I got a phone.
Well, we should play that tape for Harry Reid.
Jeez, I feel dirty now. He told me he loved me. I feel dirty and need a shower.
Harry Reid would go home and beat his own wife after hearing that conversation.
He wouldn't understand it. He'd be out of frustration.
Hey, you guys, the show is brought to you by our good friends. And by the way, they had nothing to do with the last segment. Our good friends at the Blue Grouch. The Blue Grouch on Maple this weekend. It's the caddy, you know, the golf, the Caddyshack promotion that Budweiser does. It's Caddyshack Day with Bud Light, as they'll be setting up the little putting stuff at on Saturday, the 27th. And, of course, the Ooze, one of my favorite bands, the Ooze, are playing Saturday night. That's the Blue Grouch on Maple in Springfield. We'll take a break and be back. It's a Tuesday News Day, which means Gorilla runs down the news stories right after this.
For cold drinks, good times, and live music on the weekends, you can't beat the Blue Grouch Pub. The Blue Grouch Pub. 510 West Maple in Springfield. You can't miss it. It's the only bar that has a Blue Grouch on it. Stop by. See Oscar, Smurf, Anna, the whole gang. It's the Blue Grouch Pub. 510 West Maple in Springfield.
You are listening. Chubby Ray Live. I'd be Ray. Along with Gully. And the round mound of pound. Vanilla Gorilla. Who celebrated his wife's birthday yesterday?
Yes, we did, Ray.
What did you do with her? What did you do with her?
We invited some friends over. We had some cake and ice cream.
Doggy.
Ooh.
Do it, doggy style. Victor.
Victor.
Make sweet, sweet love.
Doggy. 69.
I have refused to talk about our
reverse
sex life.
Reverse cowgirl.
I refuse to talk about our sex life.
So you gave her a good time last night.
I refuse to say anything.
How's she walking today?
She's
with a limp.
She walking good today?
I'm not going to comment, right?
Did you make her go cross-eyed?
No comment!
Did you make her go cross-eyed? Yeah!
I've seen that once.
You
gave, it's funny.
did you give her the old cross-eyed monkey?
Looks like a Sesame Street puppet at the end.
That's fantastic. So you had a good time for your wife. Did you sleep in the same bed?
No commentary.
What, did your wife tell you you're not allowed to talk about it anymore? Is that what's going on?
No commentary.
Did you push the beds together just for one
no
night?
No comment.
Hey, Lucy and Ricky, did you push the beds together?
Like Ernie and Bert?
Yeah. Ernie and Bert at least slept in the same room, Gully.
No comment.
That's true.
So you were going to stop talking about the marriage just so much?
I am commentless, Ray.
Mm. Rubber ducky.
You must have made her go cross-eyed. That's what it sounds like to me.
No comment, Ray.
Like that's a right. Waterfall, Ray. You, like a waterfall.
That's all right. We know you gave her a good one. Good for you.
No comment, Ray.
Good for you. Give her a good grunge one. A good grudge effing.
Grind it to the floor.
Walking with a limp.
No comment.
We know what the birthday. Remember, birthday and butt start with the same letter. Let's get to the news, shall we, Gully?
Hold on a second. Wait.
What? Uh oh. Is that your wife?
Oops.
Oh my God! Oh, did you see that? His wife just walked into the camera shot,
and then
leaned over,
back out.
Gave him a big kiss, and then left.
I saw a limp.
Right.
Get that. Oh, Gorilla, you must have showed her a good time.
No comment, Ray.
Looked like she was wiping. You know what? Now I know what he did, because it looked like she was wiping something off his goatee.
No comment, Ray.
Drinking from the fairy cup, was you?
Yeah, I bet somebody went.
No comment, Ray.
I'll tell you what. I bet somebody went cross-eyed, Gully. I think you're onto something.
No comment.
Somebody went. It's a Tuesday News Day! Time for the news. Here is your America's favorite newsman, Vanilla Gorilla.
Hello, Raymond.
Hi, Gorilla.
Our first story tonight comes to us from Atlantic City, New Jersey. Samantha Frazier wanted to lose some weight, but the extra pounds do not bother her now. Her love handles, Ray, they saved her life.
Her love handles saved her life?
That's right, Ray.
How is this possible?
She was walking from a bar on the boardwalk. Frazier heard a pop, then another. She tried to duck inside another bar, but yet she got hit, Ray.
She got hit by
what? In the love handle, saving her life.
What was she get hit by? What was it? What was causing the pops?
She had been shot, Ray.
Oh, my God. Shot.
Yes.
That's horrible.
And her love handle stopped the bullet.
Who shot her?
It does not say who shot her.
It's terrible.
So if you can pinch more than an inch, you're not going to die of getting shot.
Right. They shot her in the love handles?
Shot her in love handle. Oh, her left love handle.
Oh, the love. Oh, the left.
Oh, there's a great picture of this, dude. I'm going to send this to you. You can see the picture.
So they shot the girl into her fat.
Yes, Raymond.
Her obesity saved her life. It saved her life.
That's right. I feel much better about myself now.
I knew fat would come in handy for something.
Yeah.
Oh, she seems to be...
She's such a lovely young lady.
Yeah.
She looks lovely. I bet you when she opens her mouth, you know, it's like bird singing.
Hold on. I'm clicking on the link right now. I've got to see this one. So she was walking home from a bar, you said? Where was she walking home from?
She was on the boardwalk in New Jersey.
On the boardwalk?
Yeah, and she was at Herman's Place on New York Avenue. Some women that she had met, she was walking with, and she heard a couple shots, tried to duck inside another bar, and that's when she got hit, Ray.
Wow. Oh, look at the size of her. Jesus, good Lord in heaven.
She could have at least tidied up if the press were coming round to her living room, though. Come on.
Well, you do have a point. If the newspaper's coming to take a picture of you, for God's sakes, couldn't you throw something on a little bit more, you know?
Tidy up and put a decent-fitting top for a start.
Is that rerun from What's Happening?
No, but you know what? I can show her a picture on my camera.
Are we sure that's a woman? You should do that, Gorilla. Show her picture.
I can't even have Ray. She's up on my camera right now.
There you go.
There's a 100%
thank
sexy
you.
Lady
that's
for you
what we should do from now on. Very good, Gorilla. Gorilla's showing the picture of the lovely woman. We'll call her Rerun.
Samantha Lynn Frazier, 35, of Florida.
So she was shot in the fat. Well, oh, I mean, yes, I'll tell you what. I feel a little bit better by myself. I think I can handle at least some 12-gauge spray.
Some like birdshot?
Yeah, I think I can handle some of that.
I think you could take some birdshot.
I could probably take a 22.
Yeah, I think I could too.
Probably take some small armory myself. Not so much in the arse because I have a small arse, but in the stomach I could.
Thanks for that disturbing visual.
Well, there you go. Just.
Good story, right?
Well, congratulations to her. We're very happy. News continues. Story number two, Tuesday Newsday. Here's Vanilla Gorilla.
Louisville, Kentucky. I'm sorry. Perhaps it's Louisville, Denver. It comes from the Denver Post.
Louisville, Colorado, maybe?
Perhaps.
But, the only Louisville I know is in Kentucky, so I don't
that's
know.
That's what I thought, too. Right. Oh, well. Anyway, Louisville somewhere. No, it is Colorado because it's from the Boulder County Sheriff.
Okay.
Louisville man was suspected of masturbating while working behind the meat counter at the Louisville Safeway.
Good Lord.
He said at the trial.
What?
Nicholas and the salami.
He's masturbating at the Safeway.
Yeah, Ray.
Good Lord. What's wrong with him?
Here's a picture of him as well.
Let's put that picture up. Gorilla's making the picture public.
Is he holding some salami?
No, it's just like a... Nice little shot of him. He was arrested January 31st after a woman told police she was shopping at the Safeway with her infant when she was when she approached the meat counter and was asked by an employee if she was finding everything.
Mm-hmm.
Law investigators said that she noticed a motion behind the glass door and then saw the employee, who was later identified as Lorenzo, holding his penis.
So he's sitting there doing himself while going up to... So what can I give you for... What would you like? You want some meat?
You want some beef? Yep.
I would not buy the macaroni salad from this guy, I'll tell you that.
Do you think he had one of them little labels?
Buy the macaroni salad from the Safeway.
Do you think he had one of them little labels by his penis saying, my penis, $2?
You know, I'm looking at listener Cowboy Volk, who's cammed up.
Kind of look like
you
Cowboy
take that
Volk.
Cowboy hat off of Volk, I wouldn't be surprised if...
let me try this.
It's the same guy.
Let me try this.
All right.
We'll put this, and we'll here, and here. So we'll just, here's the brim.
Uh-huh. Suppose it's good news if you're a vegetarian.
Right.
In that area.
Gorilla is now drawing a cowboy. He is now drawing a cowboy hat on the face of the masturbator. That is fantastic.
Looks just like him.
This is why people need to watch the live show. Right here is reason why you should watch the show live. So you can see what Gorilla has done. He has drawn a cowboy hat on the masturbator to make him resemble listener Cowboy Volk. That is fantastic. So hopefully they have locked this person up.
Yeah.
Tuesday Newsday continues. Now the next tournament of the Gorilla.
This one comes to us from the Wada Washington Now.
All right.
A man is accused of stealing panties at open houses.
Stealing panties?
Panties, Ray. Robert Reimaker, 58, attended open houses on the North 62nd Street in Watsa, Greenfield, and Franklin. Realtors and other visitors at the open house said they saw him opening drawers and taking items. When he was stopped by police, they found plastic bags containing 8 pair of underwear and printouts with internet listings for other area open houses.
So he just went to open houses where people were trying to sell their house,
mm-hmm.
and was ripping off panties.
Oh, yes, Ray.
Wow.
What the hell is wrong with this guy?
It doesn't have a picture of him. I'd show that one. I'm thinking that'd be a pretty good one, actually.
Does he wear a hat?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure he's wearing a cowboy hat, too. I'm pretty sure what's going on.
These cowboys, they get up to a lot of mischief.
By the way, poor Cowboy Volk. He is probably wishing he would have never turned his camera on. He's going to be thinking, oh, wait a minute. I'm a fan of this show. I go out my way to watch it, and now you're implying I'm masturbating behind counters at Safeway and stealing panties from open houses.
That's, and then he's thinking maybe that's not too far, Rick.
That's how we treat our fans here on the old Chubby Ray Live Show. I'll tell you that, buddy. Oh, my God.
You know, the more that I look at Cowboy Volk, he really does look like that guy.
He does look like a master.
I've noticed he's pulled the peak of his cap right down as well. No, it's not me.
Oh, God.
I never whipped it out next to the chicken.
Oh, God. All right, what else do we have here? Let's get another story on this Tuesday Newsday, Vanilla Gorilla, with the latest.
Lions, New York, Ray. Mm-hmm. Irate New York man uses backhoe to crush 30 cars.
Good Lord.
Authorities say an upstate New York man angry with his wife used a backhoe to demolish more than 24 demolition derby cars. The Wayne County Sheriff said that 29-year-old Michael, his last name is Fagner, F-A-G-N-E-R,
right.
caused about $40,000 damage to 30 cars parked at a business in Savannah, 30 miles west of Syracuse.
Good Lord. I know where that is, actually.
Police say he used the backhoe bucket to crush most of the derby-ready cars and flip one vehicle over.
Mm-hmm.
Authorities say Fagner believed that someone at the business was having an affair with his wife.
Who owned the backhoe?
It was the businesses that he was at.
So he went to the business, stole their backhoe, and then
destroyed their derby cars.
And then destroyed all the derby cars. I'll get you. I'm going to destroy these cars that are earmarked for destruction.
Stephen gave him a head start.
I'm saying, if you really wanted to cause damage, maybe you could have destroyed cars that, I don't know, were meant to be used for something other than being destroyed.
I think his surname is damaging enough, let's be honest.
I don't know. It's just me. It seems like destroying cars that are demolition derby cars is... That's sort of like... That's like, I'm going to teach your plants a lesson by sprinkling water upon them. Ha ha!
Just doesn't work, does it?
No. I'll show your hamburger by putting a slice of cheese on it. I'll get even. I will get even with your hamburger by putting cheese and ketchup on it.
Oh, don't put ketchup on mine. That was destroyed.
Well,
I think you saw it.
What else do we have?
Actually, you know what the best thing to do? I'm going to throw out a little food tip for all the people out there today.
The Gorilla's food tip, everybody.
If you take a pint of Guinness and you boil it to reduce it, it makes a paste, and you put it on your burgers and you fry them that way.
You've got to be kidding me. A beer paste upon your hamburgers.
Yeah, it's some cheddar cheese. It's fantastic.
I've never had that. I would be interested in trying that.
Don't like Guinness, wouldn't really try.
I'm always willing to try. When it comes to food, I'm always willing to try. That's how I roll. News continuing on. Here's the next story on Tuesday News Day with Vanilla Gorilla.
From Taipei, Ray.
Taipei.
Serviced at sword point at Ninja Restaurant.
What?
Yes. It is a theme restaurant from Taipei. Waitresses wield swords and flare flames at diners who have to get past the moat before sitting at their table at the dimly lit dining hall.
So, by the way, Tully is dressing as a ninja while we speak.
Which was what brought me to the story.
Yeah. So they dress as ninjas and they try to stab you? What, when you walk?
Yes.
What the hell kind of restaurant is this?
Hey. Here's a quote, Ray. The ninja is mysterious, said Ao Chiwi, owner of the restaurant simply named Ninja.
Uh-huh.
On the premise, we can do magic tricks and light up the food.
And what kind of food do they sell at the ninja restaurant?
It actually doesn't say what they serve.
It's secret.
That's right. Ancient Chinese secret, Ray.
I bet whatever you eat, it sneaks up on you.
That's right. And stabs you in the back with a shuriken.
You'll have a backside like the Japanese flag.
It leaves one red dot right in the middle of your underwear. We can't say what it is, but it does leave a red dot in the middle of your white underwear. We call it the Japanese flag special. And you will be screaming bonsai while on the toilet. Bonsai!
Preparation H is not included.
And finally, our last story on Tuesday News Day, Chavere Live. Here's Vanilla Gorilla.
New Delhi, Ray.
New Delhi.
A Bollywood filmmaker has used a lucrative challenge to horror movies fans.
All right.
A $10,000 reward for anyone who can watch his latest supernatural thriller alone in a cinema until the closing credits.
He says the movie is so scary.
You can't watch it alone from front to back.
It would freak people out.
I'd like to take that challenge.
Well, you probably wouldn't understand it. I mean, what language are they speaking?
Yeah, true.
It's from India.
Well, India, they'll speak English.
Yeah. The movie's called Funk 2, the sequel to his 1998 film, Funk.
Did it really take 12 years to make a sequel?
No, 2008.
Oh, okay. They said 98.
I probably did say 98, right? It's about an evil spirit that traumatizes a family.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like
anyone who says this movie cannot scare him is going to be put in a theater by himself.
This sounds like a horrible film.
He says if they succeed, they'll win 500,000 rupees, approximately 10,850.
How scary could a movie be that probably has a theme song that sounds similar to? Every single movie through India or from India I've ever seen, it does have the same damn song.
Well, what they do is they have a little fight, they have a little dance, then they have a cuddle, and then they have another little fight, they have a little dance, and then they have a little cuddle, and that's all that happens in every single Bollywood film.
It's kind of like the Indian movies.
Yep. It's Bollywood for you.
There's lots of color.
I mean, yeah.
I'll be honest, Slumdog Millionaire wasn't a scary movie, but I had a really hard time sitting through the whole thing.
You know, I thought Slumdog Millionaire was very well done. I liked that movie. I thought Slumdog was a good movie, but that wasn't a Bollywood movie. That was an English movie. The guy that made that was an English director.
He's from Liverpool.
Filmed it. Oh, is he from Liverpool? He filmed it in India, but it was not an Indian movie. It was. He put in some elements of Bollywood into the movie, but that was an English film actually. Slumdog Millionaire.
Do you know what's weird about parts of East London where my girlfriend lives, especially right around where she lives? You'll see posters up for Bollywood films cinemas.
There's so many foreign people that live there. I mean,
some of the posters are weird.
There's parts of New York and Chicago that have the same thing, and I'm sure L.A. and other cities, but wherever there's a huge contingency of foreign people from whatever country, you're going to see pieces of their homeland there. I mean, that's, you know.
What's really strange is the main lead women are normally really young, like 17, 18, but the lead men are approaching 45, 50.
Of course. They've
got the gray streak and the giant sunshine type fringe sticking out everywhere, and it's bizarre.
Oh, that's
very bizarre.
Yeah. How's that different from real Hollywood? I mean, you know. Of course they do that in the entertainment industry, because that's what it's like in the entertainment industry.
You've got to give them credit for the choreography, though. Yeah. Come on, have you seen some of the dances they do?
It's ridiculous. I did like... Did you like Slumdog Millionaire, Gully?
I haven't watched it.
You've never seen it? I liked it. I think it portrays just how horribly hopeless situation is over there. It almost made me feel bad about wanting to take all those jobs back from those people. But I would in a heartbeat because I don't live there. But, I mean, I understand, you know. It's pretty interesting. It's a pretty interesting movie.
I'm sure you'd be hard-pressed to find anyone in the UK or the United States who wouldn't want the call center brought back to their own country instead of over there, let's be honest.
Just as a consumer, try calling any kind of customer service, like, hello, can I help you? You know, Jesus, they just—it's
annoying, and especially when they call themselves like Mr. Smith.
And they lie, of course they lie, and they talk about that.
Steve Smith.
That's one of the things they talk about in Slumdog Millionaire, is they lie about where they're. By the way, I'm looking at Gorilla, who has a fake cowboy hat on and is acting like he's riding a horse in his camera.
Giddy up! That's what he was doing yesterday.
Yeah, I know. He looks ridiculous. He looks ridiculous. Did you put that cowboy hat on when you were giving your wife the
pleasure?
When you were making your wife's eyes cross-eyed? Ridiculous.
We'll
hey, guys, it's after 6 o'clock. What can I say? That's it. That's it. Thank you for listening. We're back tomorrow, 4:30 p.m., with another edition of Chubby Ray Live. I want to thank the one and only Hillbilly Joe and his lovely wife, Kitty. Hey, listener Dave, CFO Dave. I want to thank him for being on. And, of course, the one and only Cowboy Volk for looking like the chronic masturbator guy. We appreciate it. Hey, tell your friends we exist. Do me a favor. I'm going to put up the MP3 of today's show, the podcast, in the next 20 minutes. If you are a friend of mine on Facebook, I ask you that you copy it and paste it and send it out. Let people know about the show. We'd really appreciate it if you guys did it. Also, I put a clip of the day up from yesterday and a clip of the week up from last week. If you could forward those to your friends, I'd also appreciate that. Thanks for listening. We're back tomorrow. Say it, Gorilla.
Good night, chicas.
Say it, Ninja Gully.
Bonsai.
Daddy Bogles, everybody. So long.